Well, I'm so excited about being in here, not just because it's a nice building. I mean, that, I'm always blessed by a nice building. But God's doing wonderful things here. You know, God's doing wonderful things through the family churches. God's doing wonderful things in the body of Christ. But I know God's doing wonderful things in Corey. And as my wife and I are here, it becomes more and more clear why we're here. Amen. Now, my wife and I, we're a team. We do this together. And I'm so thankful. I'm so blessed that the Lord gave me such a wonderful, wonderful wife, because I couldn't do this without her. Amen. She could do it without me, but I certainly can't do it without her. So I'm just thankful that she gets I always say that she was Holy Ghost bamboozled. Amen. Praise the Lord that the Lord had to work on her a lot harder than he worked on me. All I did was walk into the restaurant. There she was. I was like, "Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! That's the one. Found her. Ding! That's it. No more discussion needed there. Praise the Lord." But she took a little bit more convincing. Amen. She was my waitress, if you didn't know, and I worked on her for that summer. I worked on her real good, praise the Lord. And by the end of the summer, she couldn't be without me. Amen. Praise God. Worked the Michener magic on her. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to work that on you tonight. Not the same Michener magic. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's a joke. Hallelujah. We can laugh in church. How many know God is good and he loves us? Amen. And he's brought us here for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Great, wonderful things. Amen. Well, tonight I'm preaching a message called The Truth About Love. Amen. And this has been burning in my heart. And actually, I don't know if this can even be a one-week message. I might have to go to 2 weeks with this. So we're going to fit 2 weeks into one night. Praise the Lord. What does that mean for you? That means that we're going to have to stay here till about midnight. Praise God. And then that does not what it means. It just means that we'll unhook when it's time, when I feel that it's time. And then we'll hook back up next week. Amen. Praise God. And that's of course, according to God, if he's willing, and if he doesn't direct me otherwise, because I'm always open to that as well. But we're going to get good things tonight. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Why don't you start by turning with me to John 8:31. Hallelujah. You might notice that scripture out there on the wall. And if you didn't, well, it's out there on the wall. When you leave, turn around, look back, and you'll see it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John, and while you're turning there, I just wanted to talk to you about a few things first. You know, a lot of people are talking about the grace and love in the church today, but few people understand what grace and love really is. You know, there's lots of mention of it. You know, there's lots of talk about what the love of Christ is and what the love of God is. And we're going to find out about that today. Amen. But grace is what Jesus obtained. Okay, grace is the ability that allows us to walk into what God has for us. Grace is the thing that gives us the ability to access what God has, because we couldn't do it on our own. So we're thankful for grace. Amen. Grace is an ability, but it's something that was provided to us from Jesus. By grace you are saved, and not of yourselves. Praise the Lord. We're not saved by our own works. We're not saved by what we did. We're not saved by knocking on the doors and talking to plenty of people. We're not saved because we came to church. We're not saved because we picked up the Bible. We're not saved because we prayed 19 hours a day. Praise the Lord. We're not, and then fasted, every day of our life. We're not saved because of those things. We're saved by the grace. Now, we have to accept the grace, and we get that salvation through faith in the grace. Amen. But grace, that's what grace is for. Amen. Faith and love are how we obtain. So grace is how Jesus obtained, but faith and love is how we obtain. Now, of course, we know that Jesus operated in faith, and he operated in love. Amen. But it's the love of God that gives us the ability to obtain. Walking in faith and walking in love is how a Christian obtains. Some people look at Christians and say, "Well, why do I see this person over here? They call themselves a Christian and they do all these things that don't look very much very Christian-like. They do these things that I don't see." I almost like this. Hallelujah! I might just start walking on air out here. Glory to God. But they say, "I see these Christians are doing these things and it doesn't look very Christ-like. They go to church. They dress the part. They look the part. They carry their Bible around. They can quote scripture. They know lots of scripture, praise the Lord, but they're not acting right." Yeah. See, because they're not operating in the love of Christ. See, they don't understand things that the Bible that the Bible says. They're not operating in faith. We only obtain from God through faith. We only obtain through God through faith in his Son. We only obtain from God through faith in his Son and faith in the things that he said that we have. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of things that have been promised to a lot of people throughout history. The Lord promised so many things to so many people throughout history. Praise God. Just because you have a prophecy, somebody prophesies over you, you still have to operate in faith. Things of God are not just automatic. Now, there are certain things that were automatic, and we know this, and I'm not going to talk about all this stuff tonight, but there's a little bit there that we got to get out, amen? Praise the Lord. Or I got to get out. You ain't got to get out. You just got to sit there and listen, hallelujah. But I got to get it out, amen? John 8, 31 and 32. Let's look what it says here. When my wife read this, and again, it's on the wall out there, but praise the Lord, we're going to read it again. Then Jesus said to the Jews, those Jews who believed in him. Now we know, I'm going to stop here because some of you may not know this, but the Bible says that we are Jews by faith. Hallelujah. If we received salvation, we're Jews by faith. Amen. So we become part of that. And of course, we know that this was also talking to people just before Jesus gave them the new covenant, but it still applies to us. Amen? Praise the Lord. And Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, or you could say those people who believed him, if you live in my word, if you make my word of utmost importance in your life, when you live in something, it's important to you, right? Amen? If you live in a house, it's important to you. The roof is important to you. Amen? If you don't live in a house, you don't care about the roof. You might want a roof, but you don't care about the roof of that house because it doesn't, there's things that come with living in the Word. Amen? My wife and I have found this out over our lives. Over the course of the time that we were together and we started serving in church and started getting connected and started seeing God move on our behalf. And what was that? It wasn't because we're so wonderful. She's pretty awesome. But it's not because we're so wonderful. It's because God was being faithful to his promises. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if you live in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's the truth that makes people free. People see, this is what people don't understand. People are bound all the time. I was bound in my life. You know, I was a mental head case. Praise the Lord. I was. I couldn't function in society. I could barely hold a job. Sometimes I couldn't go out in public. What set me free? It was the truth that was preached to me week in and week out. It was the word getting preached to me and me sitting under it. It wasn't hands being laid on me. It wasn't some special prophecy. All that stuff is fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what I'm saying is week in and week out, the truth being instilled in me changed my life. That's what brought me up. See, a lot of people in my family think that it was just my wife. Praise the Lord. God used her. Amen. God used her very mightily. But to help settle me down and keep going. Amen. So praise the Lord. We're thankful for good women that serve the Lord and follow God. Amen. But she isn't the reason why I got set free. The reason I got set free, the truth set me free. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you say, well, what does this have to do about love? Well, see, this is the truth about love that a lot of people don't understand. Love tells the truth. Love doesn't masquerade as something else. Love doesn't try to mask it over. Love doesn't just do. You know, when you have kids, if you don't discipline your kids, praise the Lord. How many people love discipline? Is there anyone in here who loves to get disciplined? If you ever had spankings or anything like that, you know you don't love that kind of stuff. It's not fun. But we know that discipline, and not just spanking. I mean, there's lots of different kinds of or discipline. But if without discipline, people don't learn. Without discipline, well, my wife's a school teacher. She'll tell you a whole lot. She can point to kids that don't have much discipline. How can you tell? Because they act like animals. Amen? People act like animals where there's no discipline. See, the truth will set us free because one of the things it does is it gets us thinking right. Amen? It gets rid of what we like to call the stinking thinking and makes you start thinking the way that you're supposed to think. See, because people, you know, the Bible tells us, and this applies not just to children, but also children in the faith. The Bible tells us that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. This is why we don't allow children to make decisions, important decisions in our lives. My kids don't run my household. Why don't my kids run my household? Because foolishness is bound in their heart. When foolishness is bound in their heart, if you let them, you're going to have foolishness running your household. And then you're going to wonder why things are falling apart. I just saw a video online. Praise the Lord. I was looking at the news. Just flipping through the news a little bit. And I saw a video. This kid on this airplane had an 8-hour tantrum fit. And they played like a few minutes of it, or just a few minutes of it. 8 hours. I mean, screaming his fool head off. They're going to tell you what that kid needed. Hallelujah. And it wasn't just another kind, sit down and be quiet. It was need you get made to sit down and be quiet. Hallelujah. But see, this kind of stuff isn't popular. This kind of idea isn't popular. And it's not popular. Why I bring this up? It's not popular in the churches. And see, so churches stop preaching about things that are sinful. They stop preaching about things that are wrong. And they started just accepting everything. And then they wonder why the church looks like the world. Because the church is doing the same thing that the world's doing. See, if you do what the world does, you're going to get what the world gets. Amen? But if you do what God does, you get what God... And this is about abiding in the Word and being changed by the truth of the Word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, you know I'm not advocating beating children or anything like that. Amen? I'm not advocating being a mean parent, mean-spirited or anything like that. We have to do things in love. Amen? But I can tell you, I disciplined my kids. My kids grew up on discipline. And there ain't one of them that thinks that I don't love them. There isn't one of them that's scared of me. There isn't one of them, you know, because you don't have to be. When you discipline right, and see, the church has got to be the same way. The truth, if we don't tell people the truth, if we don't straighten things out, and that's part of what we're doing here, amen? Praise the Lord. That's part of what we're doing in Corey. We're straightening some things out. We're making some paths straight, hallelujah. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, that's kind of prideful that you say that you're coming. No, the Lord told me that, hallelujah. So when the Lord tells you, you ain't got to worry about it, praise the Lord. Because what we're doing is we're trying to make some paths straight because God, Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming back for a glorious church, hallelujah. Now, a glorious church isn't a broken and defeated church. A glorious church isn't a church where the people don't know which way to go, hallelujah. A glorious church isn't one where the people are lost and scared and hurting all the time. A glorious church is a church that stands up against the devil. A glorious church is one that says, you know what? I ain't got to put up with this anymore, devil, because I got a God who's bigger, hallelujah. And he's on the inside of me, and he's guiding me and taking me, hallelujah. That's what we need to start hearing. We need to stop hearing the there's at the pulpit. We need to start hearing the kick in the pants at the pulpit, hallelujah. We need to start get back to the things that will keep us right. Church is not Burger King, hallelujah. God, the kingdom of God is not Burger King. I'm saying this for my daughter because she likes it when I say this, praise the Lord. It isn't have it your way, hallelujah. The things of God is not have it your way. The things of God are have it his way or don't have it. And the reason why the church is gone without is because they don't have it. And see, people don't like the idea. I've met pastors that are afraid to call themselves pastors. Well, glory to God. Did God put you in that position or didn't he? If you're a pastor, then stand up and be a pastor, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, you get me preaching real bold right now, but that's the truth. Hallelujah. You got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know what God has called you to do. Amen. Jesus knew, and we're supposed to walk like Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All this about praise the Lord, about grace, love, and faith, and people will say, well, you preaching like that, and you're yelling, you're up there hooting and hollering, spitting and sputtering all over the place, and man, that ain't very much like love. See, you don't know what love is, because Jesus went in the temple, and he took a whip, and he chased people out, because they weren't acting right at church. Hallelujah, and you don't act right at church, you just don't let me come out there. I got a belt on, I'll take that belt off, hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding, praise the Lord, that's just a joke, hallelujah. Love, first and foremost, promotes the truth. Amen. We're going to see that in the Word today. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're in John. I have no idea what time I started. Praise God. So I'm just going to go until I feel like it's time. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. John 8:44. You're in 8:31-32. Just go a little bit further. You might even be on the same page or just the next page. Amen. Praise the Lord. John 8:44. Are you ready for real good? You are of your father, the devil. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we got to read this in context. That's what it says. You are the father of the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. Praise the Lord. You are not of God. See, people say all the time, I'm of God. They say, I'm a Christian. But then they don't act like it. They don't do those things that are supposed to be Christian. Now, I'm not talking about making mistakes. We ain't called to be perfect. We were supposed to be perfected. Hallelujah. But some people don't want to be perfected at all. Some people don't allow perfection to work in them. Why? Because they come into the church and they live the same way they did when they live in the world. Yeah. The church was meant to change the world. But instead, the world has changed the church. And this has happened. Oh, we have worship services that aren't worshiping God because they're not worshiping according to what Scripture has showed us. What they're doing is they're worshiping according to the flesh. And they're saying, I'm doing it to God, but it's not doing it anymore to God. If you do things your way and not God's way, now if God says, hey, you can pick your way into this certain thing or whatever, then praise the Lord, do it. But Jesus said, those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. A lot of people think that it's spirit and they're doing it out of their flesh. What do I mean? They're just doing it. They're just doing what they want, how they want to do it. They want to worship how they want to worship. Listen, this team up here, we call it the worship team, but this isn't what worshiping God is. This is coming to church and being getting prepared for God to move. And so it's to prepare our hearts. And yes, it's a form of worship, but that's not what worship is. If people are like, oh, I want a worship service that's 2 hours long. Well, that's not necessarily even worshiping God. Worshiping God is where you're pouring your heart out before God. Hallelujah. Where you're thanking Him, where you're praising Him, where you're getting in that presence of God. I'm not saying it can't happen during praise and worship, what we call praise and worship. But this isn't what the purpose of it is. This is to prepare service. See, people have, they have church services, they have worship services instead of having church services, or what they call worship services, and they wonder why God ain't really moving. Or they wonder why there's nothing. See, when God is operating, things change. I said, when God is operating, things change. There will be a change. If there ain't no change, God ain't operating, something's off. Amen? You can't have it any other way. If God is working, something is going to change. Amen? And it's far too long. The church has been so stale. This is why people don't like going to church anymore. Why? Because it's stale. They go to church. Here's some person up there. Blah, 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 blah. You know, talking about stuff and nobody understands, reading things that nobody understands. And then they wonder why they're not filling the churches. Because there's no move of God. There's no spirit in the place. Hallelujah. There's no truth taught. Oh, praise the Lord. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Jesus was saying this. So in context, what's this talking about? It's talking about people who rejected what Jesus was saying because they didn't want to receive it. They didn't like what he was saying. Oh, well, this was too hard to hear. So they didn't want to. And he was saying that you're of your father, the devil, because when the truth is in front of you, you can't recognize it. What you call truth is not truth at all. How many churches could this be said of? How many churches could you walk into and there's no truth at all? Oh, sure, they have their happy programs and they have their feel-good this and their feel-good that. But is God moving in there? Are people's lives changing? Are there people that are being healed? Are there people who are being set free? Are there marriages that are being restored? Are there people who are bound and not bound anymore? Is there increase in people's lives and their finances in every area of their life? If there isn't, then something is wrong. Because where God is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is always increase. God always increases. He always takes us higher. God is not a God of almost enough. God is not enough. God is not a God of halfway. He is a God of over the top on the other side. So far, you can't even see it yet, but you just stick with me and we'll get you there. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God I serve, and that's why I love my God. That's why I serve God the way that I do, because I've realized something about Him, that He's real. I realized something about Him, that when His word speaks something, it's the truth. Hallelujah. Even when I didn't like to hear it, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah, because I'm going to tell you right now, when I was sitting on the couch of a shrink, and they were trying to tell me about all this other stuff in the world that they come up with to do, and none of it changed anything. And they pumped me full of pills and pills and pills, saying, this will help you, this will help you, this will help you, and none of it ever helped me. Praise the Lord. What set me free was the Word. What set me free was the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Amen. Jesus was love. He was the embodiment of love. He was God incarnate. Hallelujah. God in the flesh. God, Jesus is love. Hallelujah. Everything. And you know what John 1 tells us? That Jesus is also the Word. And the Word is God. So the Word of God is God. This is God. The Word, not the Bible, not this page and leather and all the things that are made ink here. But what is spoken here is from the mouth of God. And what God has said is you cannot separate me from my word. You know what a lot of humans don't realize? That you can't separate you from your word either. What you speak is what you are. What the way you talk, the way whatever you're embodied. This is why we have people doing all kinds of crazy things. They're just nuts. I mean, I'm not even get into all of it, but there's just a whole ton of things out there that people are doing. They're just like, that even a few years ago, we'd be like, you're crazy. Hallelujah. But people are like doing it now. They're doing all kinds of things that don't work. You see kids doing things, they're terrible things, going into schools and doing all kinds of, why is all this? Well, you start driving God out of a society and what happens? That's exactly what you're seeing. Listen, when they start casting prayer out of school, because God forbid we pray in school, what does that hurt anybody? You know, all this stuff, I'm going to just bring this up, all this stuff about separation of church and state. You know, that's not even the Constitution, right? That's not even written in the Constitution. That was in a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to a pastor, actually, because he was saying, can I say these things? And he was like, yeah, they can't make you not. That's really what it was all about. It was never in the, it's not in the Constitution. There is nothing in the Constitution that says that you can't talk about church or God. Praise the Lord. There's nothing in there about that. Right? You say, well, how is this stuff important? It is important. Because you see where a country goes. You see where people go. When we started off, are we any better now than we were 20 years ago, 30 years ago? And some things, maybe a little bit. Some things we've advanced in. You know, there's no, you know, there's no slavery anymore. Praise the Lord for that. There's no segregation anymore. Obviously, these things were not godly things anyways. You know, if you read through the scripture, if you really understand scripture, you'll never lead you to things like slavery or godly, or segregation or things like that. Not in those sense, not the sense of what we saw, amen. That wasn't of God, praise the Lord. But you understand that by and large, we didn't have, I mean, I was listening to somebody talk about, again, like the guns and schools and stuff like that. I said, we used to go to school with guns. Had them in truck. Every vehicle in the parking lot had guns in it. What's the difference? It's the way people are taught, the way people think. We have a culture that exemplifies things like shooting things up. We have video games that kids are playing about, like where they can kill and rob and stuff like that. And you put that in people, and put that in, especially kids. You remember those ones that had the foolishness bound in their heart? Well, praise the Lord. If you give a fool ammo, guess what happens? Praise the Lord. See, God wants to do something. He wants to change our lives. He wants to help us. But if we reject the Word, we can't. If we don't live in the Word, we can't. If we don't do things according to the Word, we can't. Amen? 1 John 2:21 says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. No lie is of the truth. There is no partial truths and partial lies. It's either all a lie or all the truth. This is God talking. Amen? The Word of God is either true or it's not true. It's not partially true. I can pick and choose this and not have that. That's not the way that it works. Jesus said, my word is truth. And no lie is of the truth. So if there's a lie in this, then it can't be truth. Amen? And we better change our church. Praise the Lord. We better change the sign. Say family maybe church or something like that. Amen? No lie is of the truth. See, you can't have it both ways. It's not going to work both ways. It either works or it doesn't work. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes I'm not a very good mechanic. And sometimes my car or my truck, I said that for my wife, but sometimes my vehicle doesn't do what it should. And if I go to the mechanic and they say, what's it doing? I'm like, I don't know. It's just not doing what it should because I don't know. You know, I don't understand all that. I just understand that it's not working. Amen. It doesn't partially work. And if it's partially working, it doesn't work for very long, does it? Amen? You see, you can tell a car spitting and sputtering going down the road and smoke's pouring out of it and it's hurking and jerking and all this stuff. Amen? You know it ain't going very far. You know they ain't going cross country in that thing. Amen? You know they're not going to be climbing any mountains with that car. You know why? Because the truth is it's not working right. Amen? Well, it's the same thing with Christians. They're hurking and jerking through life. They're like spitting and sputtering. They're trying to get there. Amen? And they got one wheel that's off in the ditch, and they got doors that don't work. They got turn signals that don't work. They got a steering wheel that somewhere they left it back in Pennsylvania somewhere. Praise the Lord. They just kept going without it, and they just figured they'd get there one way or the other. It doesn't work that way, does it? But why do we think nothing in life works that way? Amen? Nothing does. Amen? You can't be driving down the street doing whatever you want and then all of a sudden get pulled over by the police and say, hey, but see, this is the way I felt like doing it. Officer, you don't understand. This is the way I wanted to do it. You know, I know the speed limit was 35 and it was a school zone, but see, listen, I really had someplace I wanted to get to, so I had to get there, and you understand that. Well, I'm a pretty good driver, so I felt it'd be okay if I went 55. You know what's going to happen? You're getting a ticket. Amen? And if you don't shut up, you'll probably go to jail. Praise the Lord. Why is that? Because it doesn't work that way. Life doesn't, nothing else in life works that way. So why do we think the church would? Well, God will put somebody at the front. He'll put somebody up there to lead it. Praise the Lord. And then everybody gives everybody an opinion on how to do it. Isn't that funny? Everybody thinks they have an opinion that's from God, but everybody's opinion is different. And then they wonder why the church don't work. Because God isn't giving everybody an opinion, amen? There's a certain saying that I used to hear. Something about opinions are like something. What is it? They're like something on the body. It was like something from the backside, I think. They're like, everybody's got an opinion. Praise the Lord. They're like those things. Everybody's got one. Amen. Hallelujah. But they all stink. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, oh yeah. Getting through one. We got to talk nice because it's church. Hallelujah. But praise the Lord. If you didn't get it, then just ask me afterwards and we'll go back over it. Praise the Lord. But see, things don't work that way in life. You know, everything doesn't just work the way we want it. It works at Burger King. Amen. You can have it your way for the most part. But listen, you know, you can't live off Burger King. Amen. Burger King's all right. I like Burger King. Amen. It's one of the only places we can go and get a veggie burger for my wife. Hallelujah. We like Burger King. Burger King's all right. But you know, if you eat Burger King every day, man, Burger King ain't all right no more. And by the time you're my age, when you get to 41-ish, praise the Lord, we're 42-ish. I'm 42-ish. I'm 41, but I'm almost 42. Amen. But when you get there, then you start learning that Burger King really doesn't work every day. There was a day where I would eat McDonald's often. You know, I got excited when they had 50-cent cheeseburger day. You remember that? Anybody remember 50-cent cheeseburger day at McDonald's? Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, man, we used to get up all the change that we could and go there and get a whole bunch of cheeseburgers. And we would eat like 50 cheeseburgers. I mean, it was crazy. It was 50 cent, wasn't it? 50 cent? It's a crazy, unheard of. Anyways, praise God. Hallelujah. That's not what this message is about. Turn with me to Ephesians 4:11. Praise God. I would like to blame the fact that I'm really warm on the lights, but they're not. They don't really put off that much heat. So I'm just going to come down here and grab my water. Amen. Praise the Lord. Might have something to do with the preaching. Praise God. Hallelujah. But don't you know the preaching anointing is good? God gave it to us for a reason. He gave it to us to help us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:11. Don't you love the word? The word is so good because it always gives us the answer. Amen. I'm a dummy. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm a dummy. Everything I did in life failed. But when the word got in me, I started making a difference. I started doing things differently. Praise the Lord. I wasn't a dummy as much. And the only time I'm a dummy now is when I don't listen to what was written. And then I go back and say, sorry, God, I should have listened. Hallelujah. All right. Ephesians 4:11. We'll read through 15. And he himself, everybody say he himself. That's Jesus, in case you didn't know. I'll back up a few scriptures if you didn't understand, but that's Jesus. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. He himself. I love that it says he himself. Because when Jesus took care of things himself, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do, right? There's a lot of things that if you have ever led an organization or if you've led, you've been a boss or something like that, there's a lot of things that you can delegate to other people. But there's something about when the boss says, no, I'm taking care of this. I'm going to get this done. What? Why do they do that? Because they want to make sure that it gets done. Amen? Well, God ain't no dummy. He's the same way. Amen? He himself gave some. He gave us these offices. Now, this is what a lot of people don't understand. See, a lot of people in life, they don't have pastors. Now, then that's what I'm going to focus on right at the moment, because because we have to understand some things about that. The pastor is the one that's with the people most of the time. Amen. That's the one that's with us. The other offices are important. The apostle, the prophet, you know, they're all important. But this is the one that's with the people all the time. Pastor literally means shepherd. A shepherd is with the sheep. Amen. That's what Jesus left him with. But we see that he himself gave it. He himself did it. So it was important. You say, Pastor Jeff, how does this have anything to do with love? Because everything that God did, he did out of love. He spoke the truth in love. And we're going to see why. Amen. I believe we will. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what a pastor is for, right there. For the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? In case you didn't know, all of you are. If you believe in the Lord, if you've accepted Jesus in your heart, you become a saint. That's what a saint, and I know there's some religions say, well, the saints are these old dead guys and they make statues of them and we worship. That's not what a saint is. Amen. They may have been saints, but anybody who has received Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior, the Bible calls us saints. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. That's not what religion says, but that's what the Bible says. Amen. It's important to know what the Bible says because the Bible tells us the truth. Amen. People say this all the time. Well, there's this religion and that religion and this religion, this denomination. How do you know they're right? See, that's the problem. They're looking at the denomination to see if it's right. Just look at the Word. If the Word says it, then it's true. If you're all Christian, if I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Presbyterian. I don't care if you're Pentecostal. I don't care what you are, Episcopalian. You just put a name on it. I don't care. Call out one if you want. But I don't care what name it is. If you believe in the Bible, then the Bible is what you need to follow. Because that you understand. Well, praise God. But a lot of people say they believe it, and then they don't follow it. That's the way I was most of my life. Amen? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is who we are. He is the head, we're the body. Amen? This is what Jesus did for us. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. See, this knowledge of the Son of God makes us a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is what God wanted for us. But see, people are faint and scattered. Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus looked on the people and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were scattered and faint. When people don't have a shepherd, they're scattered and faint. This is why people struggle. They don't have a pastor. They don't have someone that they can go to and learn about God and talk about God. See, because you can get some of it yourself, but he himself gave us the ministry offices for a reason. Therefore, if Jesus gave us the ministry offices, then we can't neglect them. Or if we neglect them, we neglect part of our faith. We neglect what God is doing. Amen? Sure, you can be a Christian at home, just not a very effective one. You can be a Christian without a church, just not a very effective one. Amen? And I have my doubts as to whether how far you can go with that. It's important that we understand our connection to the body. Amen? Verse 14, that we should no longer, look at this, this is why he gave us these things, that we should no longer be children, tossed. You remember what I said about children? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You remember that? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Praise God. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. See, this is what happens when people aren't settled, when they aren't stable. The Bible tells us the Bible says in the Psalms to be planted in the house of the Lord and flourish in his courts. Be planted in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you take a plant, you uproot it and you throw it to the side and you stick it back in dirt and then uproot it and throw it to the side and you stick it in the dirt and uproot it and throw it to the side, what happens? It doesn't live. Even a plant that you love and you nurture and you take it out of its pot and you put it in a new pot because you want to give it room to grow and you put more dirt around it, it still takes it a minute. It'll get shocked sometimes. Just that. You say, how does the plant know? I don't know, but it does. It just doesn't, because it's so sensitive. See, but that's the same way that people are. People are like plants that are uprooted all the time. You know, we praise God, hallelujah. We have a gazillion churches in Corey. Praise the Lord. One church after another that's split. God doesn't cause church splits. God isn't causing churches to split. He doesn't say, oh, he doesn't just up. Now, God will move people on, but it's always, God doesn't do things divisively like people do. When God does something, he moves people into it. The pastor would know. And when they sent us out to pastor a church, we're always very careful when we tell people about that. God didn't just split me off and send me out and pastor a new church. No, my pastor sent me out, my wife out. He sent us out to do it. He encouraged us to do it. He told us it was time, hallelujah. We had actually learned so much, we were kind of like this. You know what I mean? We're like, I don't want to go. I'm fine here. It's good here. You got the covering. I'm all right. We're getting fed. That's good. Praise the Lord. Everything is good. We don't need to be uprooted. But see, that wasn't the plan of God. The plan of God was that we would pastor and start a church to what? To increase people's faith, to help people learn, to help people find out the truth. Praise the Lord. That's what God is doing. Amen? Praise the Lord. To a perfect man, to the full measure of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. what is this telling us? There was winds of doctrine that were coming. There was winds of doctrine that were going to come and blow on the people, and they were going to cause all kinds of different people to go different ways. And because people aren't planted, what happens? People have a shepherd. They don't want to submit to authority. Oh, glory to God. We don't want to say that word, submission and authority. We don't like those words in today's society, but praise the Lord, they're important still. Amen. But we're blown this way and blown that way, and they wonder why people are so goofy and crazy and doing weird things. And like, you call yourself a Christian, but you don't look like what I understand of a Christian. Amen? Praise the Lord. Winds of doctrine. They think, oh, I can have it my way. I can do it the way I want to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's showing us something here. Amen? But speaking, look at this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Amen. Baby, where am I at this first time? Real close? I ain't got that far in here. Praise the Lord. We might need 3 weeks to do this. Hallelujah. Speaking the truth in love. God is taking us somewhere. He wants us to know the truth. He wants us to be full. He wants us to have the fullness of Christ, but we cannot get there without the truth. We can't get there if someone's not willing to tell you the truth. I'm so glad that my pastor said to me, you're not always right. I'm so glad that my pastor said, you know something, sometimes you're actually doing it wrong. I'm so glad that someone spanked me, hallelujah, or slapped me upside the head and say, no more. Because without someone doing that, I couldn't get right. I couldn't get fixed. I had enough of my life of people just coddling me and patting my back and saying, there. And there were so many people that were willing to do that, but it did not help me. It was only by the word and somebody preaching the word, preaching the truth, staying in the truth, in line with the truth, that changed my life. And it's the only thing that will change any of our lives. It's the only thing that will help us is the truth. There is a truth. People say, why did God do this and why did God do that? Most of the time, people blame God for what the devil's doing. If they had known the truth, if someone had taught them the truth, they would have known better, and they would know that it was the devil coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came to give them life. And yet people reject the life all the time. A real life, true life, a healthy life, a blessed life. God doesn't want us uprooted and hurting. You think a God who would send his son? I'll use this example. I'll close with this example. A God who would send his son to be sacrificed for sinners, for people who didn't care. Every person that exists in this world, Jesus died for. Jesus died for Hitler. He died for him. He died with the hopes that Hitler would not do the things that he did and that he would receive him and be born again and would be in heaven. But I'm going to tell you that Hitler isn't in heaven. And it isn't because God didn't pay the way. God made the way. Why would he send a God of love would only do this amazing act by sending his son to pay the price? And the things that Jesus went through were horrendous, horrible things. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. He went through it for us, so we didn't have to. But people die every day without receiving him. People turn from Jesus all the time. And God has provided. This is the truth. This is the truth of the word. Did God so love the world that he gave his only begotten son? Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to close with this scripture. I know I said I was going to close with that statement, but I'm going to close with this scripture. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctification is an act of love. God's love is found in his word. Sanctification is what Jesus did. That's the cleansing of us. That's our cleansing. That's how God loved us, by cleansing us, by providing a way so we could have all that he has intended for us. I want to say this. The church does not look like what the church is supposed to look like. I'm talking about the church as a whole. I'm not talking about this church, that church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. God created or gave the ability to create a glorious church. And he said, I'm coming back for that glorious church. Praise the Lord. But the church has got to decide whether to walk into it. Oh, praise the Lord.